is VSiN's Tailgate Show, only on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome to hour number two of VSiN's Tailgate Show here on this final Saturday of 2025. I am Ben Stevens. 8 college football bowl games. We will continue to preview those throughout our next 2 hours here on the Tailgate Show. And of course, in just a few days, starting on New Year's Eve night, the final actual day of 2025, round number two, the quarterfinals of the college football playoff. 4 games in total, 1 on New Year's Eve, a triple header on the first day of 2026. That, of course, being New Year's Day. We will look at all 4 games here in this segment and get you ready for what you need to know. Still with an early-ish look, despite these matchups being set now for just about a week. Later in the hour, we'll talk some college basketball with Greg Peterson as well. Some NFL looks for a doubleheader and the entirety of the Week 17 slate with Nick Whalen. And, of course, everything that you need to know around this sports landscape. It's the holiday season. I'm sure you've got some family plans, but you're watching VSiN's Tailgate Show. So make sure that you are also following along with all that we have in sports today. And if you need an excuse from the family to sit on the couch and watch the Wasabi Fenway Bowl between UConn and Army, they should understand. It's also the Pop-Tarts Bowl, the People's National Championship in Orlando, and a top 25 matchup between BYU and Georgia Tech. The family loves Pop-Tarts. Everybody knows that. Let's focus on the college football playoff quarterfinals. We go in order, breaking down matchup after matchup, and it starts on New Year's Eve night in the Cotton Bowl. It's our largest spread of our 4 games in the quarters. Ohio State, 9.5-point favorite against Miami. It's also our lowest total, number at 42.5. Most of the public and the sharps, really, for all 4 games here in the CFP quarterfinal on those favorite sides. And most of the public, as you would presume, likes to bet the overs. But for this matchup, public looking at the under, the sharps heavy on the over of this total at 42.5. Of course, Ohio State in 2025 on its national championship defense. They are looking to repeat now as the 2 seed in the CFP. But unlike last year when the Buckeyes lost their regular season finale to Michigan, missed out on the Big Ten title game, they had to play in the opening round and got hot at the right time. This year's Buckeyes have had an extended rest. That was the reigning national championship winning head coach, Ryan Day, getting his team prepared in Columbus.
When you have, you know, this layoff in between the regular season and the first game, you have to identify a lot of different things. You know, first off, coming off the season, you have your self-scout, you have different things you want to look at. But then also, like you said, keeping your edge. And, you know, you have to sit on that loss for a while, and that's not fun. But it does wake us up early in the morning and keep us here late at night and making sure that we're doing everything we can because, you know, the issues are always there. And, you know, against good opponents, you know, they get brought to the forefront. So those are the things we have to get fixed and addressed. And, you know, there's been, you know, really good practices here, spirited practices, and these guys are excited to get back on the field.
You see the Cotton Bowl logo behind Ohio State's head coach in Ryan Day, a familiar setting in Arlington, Texas for the Buckeyes. Of course, last year in the college football playoff semifinal, the 92-yard scoop and score for Jack Sawyer, that will be remembered in Columbus for eternity on Ohio State's way to winning a national championship. That happened in the Cotton Bowl. Even the year prior, non-CFP game, but playing in the Cotton Bowl against Missouri. 3 consecutive years playing in the Cotton Bowl for Ohio State. And one of the reasons the spread is as large as it is, and the total is only 42 and a hook, is because of the Buckeyes' defense. Best scoring defense in the country. One of the best scoring defenses we have seen in college football in decades. In fact, for Ohio State, it's the best scoring defense for the Buckeyes in a half century. They have only allowed 106 total points in 13 games. That is the best number since the 1975 Ohio State defense that allowed only 102 total points, but in only 12 games. So that is our first in the college football playoff quarterfinal on New Year's Eve. And then we have 3 on New Year's Day. That starts in Miami between Texas Tech and Oregon. It is the shortest spread that we have in the college football playoff quarterfinal. Now about a 1.5, 2-point number in favor of Oregon, but we expect this game between the Ducks and the Red Raiders to be decided by a razor thin edge. Two of the best teams all season long. Oregon into the college football playoff quarterfinal with a victory against JMU. Although the Dukes did score 34 points and put up more than 500 yards, Texas Tech dominant in the Big 12, earning that opening round bye. Joey McGuire, the head man in Lubbock, sets the stage for what Texas Tech can expect against Oregon.
You know, yesterday we met and introduced our team to Oregon. And, you know, one thing that I said to our guys when we started, and y'all have heard me say this before, but, you know, how lucky are we? You know, and that's not a question, but, man, a statement of gratitude. You know, if you'd have told my 13-year-old self that I'm getting ready to coach on January 1st in the Orange Bowl at 11 a.m. Central Time, man, I would have probably never believed it. So I'm just so fortunate and grateful that we get to do this, and man, we're excited. I'm a huge fan of Dan Lanning. I listen to a lot of stuff that he does. I love what he does. I think he does it right. He's a great coach. He's great for college football. I love to see how his guys compete. You know, they play with an edge, and, you know, he's one of those guys. He's a defensive guy. He's got an edge to him. So, man, just a huge fan of his. This is going to be a great game.
I expect Oregon to win this football game. In fact, it's one of the two bets that I logged in our college football playoff betting guide that you can get right now with a VSiN Pro subscription or the betting guide itself. Oregon in the early odds to reach the college football playoff semifinal was minus 105. Texas Tech was minus 125. But as you see, Oregon is flipped to the favorite. Now a 2-point spread in favor of the Ducks as they get ready to take on Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl. Speaking of the college football playoff betting guide and anything that comes with a VSiN Pro subscription, it's still the holiday season. And if you're still looking for that perfect holiday gift or a smarter way to bet the biggest games of the year, VSiN's holiday special gives you VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. You'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app covering everything from bowl season, the CFP, the NFL playoffs, to March Madness, and the Masters. Plus, as I mentioned, you'll get our college football playoff betting guide featuring expert playoff brackets, power ratings, CFP, and bowl best bets, and access to game previews for every bowl game on VSiN.com. Give yourself the gift of smarter betting. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Oregon and Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl are first of three to start off a new year. But if it's New Year's Day and it's college football, tradition and pageantry still hold a place. The granddaddy of them all under the San Gabriel Mountains in Pasadena. And for the first time since 1968, Indiana will play in the Rose Bowl. And for the first time ever, the Hoosiers will take on Alabama in football. You see the 6.5-point spread in favor of IU? In the last 11 college football seasons, Alabama has only been booked, including this Rose Bowl game against the Hoosiers, as an underdog 9 total times. This is the largest spread in favor of the Tide's opponent. But as we know, Indiana, in this miraculous 2-year turnaround under Kurt Cignetti, never allows themselves to get complacent. Let's hear from the head Hoosier on how Indiana is dealing with the time off and getting ready for Alabama.
Well, you know, it is what it is, so you make the most of it. And the way we approached it until we knew the opponent, we treated it like 2 bye weeks. And now we have almost 2 weeks to prepare for the opponent. So would I prefer to play earlier? Yeah, I probably would, to be quite honest with you. But that's not the case. So we're excited about playing. We're off to a good start, and it'd be a tremendous challenge.
For me, I would lay the 6.5 with Indiana. I believe this matchup favors the Hoosiers because of one of the best rushing attacks in the country. Indiana averaging better than 221 yards per game. That's top 10 in the country. Led the Big Ten this year. Alabama great on the ground against Oklahoma. But the Tide's defense has struggled to contain opponents' rushing attacks throughout this season. I think Indiana brings some physicality up front. And on the defensive side, the Hoosiers 39 sacks this year. One of just 13 teams in FBS college football to average 3 sacks per game or better. One of the others, Oklahoma. Now, OU lost the game against Alabama in the opening round, but the Sooners still recorded 5 sacks in 7 TFLs. Again, Alabama, an underdog for just the ninth time since 2015. That's 11 college football seasons. The 6.5-point spread, the largest underdog Alabama has ever been. It's only the third time in those nine games, including this Rose Bowl affair against IU. Alabama has been booked as more than a field goal underdog. The previous two, the 2021 and 23 SEC championship games against Georgia. I said earlier that most of the public in the sharps on the favorites when it comes to betting the side for the college football playoff quarterfinal, most on the over as well. Really, the only game that gets the attention for an under is Indiana and Alabama, about 61% of the handle on Circa at this moment on the under of that total, 48.5. Our final game on New Year's Day, of course, Georgia and Ole Miss, 6.5-point spread in favor of the Dogs in New Orleans at the Sugar Bowl. Total 56.5. That number even creeping toward a touchdown on certain books like Circa. It is very reminiscent. In fact, almost identical numbers to the regular season matchup in Athens between the Bulldogs and the Rebs. 7-point spread in favor of UGA. Total closed at 57. Georgia won that football game 43-35, despite trailing by 9 in the final few minutes of the third quarter. Georgia scored 17 straight, all 17 points, in fact, in the fourth quarter to come back and knock off Ole Miss. So a rematch of SEC foes in the final of 3 on New Year's Day and the final of 4 in the college football playoff quarterfinal. College football to college basketball. Greg Peterson gives you some best bets up next.
Show right here on VSiN, the sports betting network, where you get your winners.
Get your winners is a great theme for VSiN's tailgate show as we look at a small college basketball board on this Saturday that is only going to get bigger after the Christmas break. We welcome on VSiN's very own Greg Peterson joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line on the tailgate show. With only one D1 versus D1 game today, Greg, in men's college hoops, but plenty to come throughout this week into next weekend with some full conference action around our leagues nationally starting to pick up as well. Greg, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us here on VSiN's Tailgate Show.
Ben, great to have you aboard. Wish we had more than one game today, but what people can look forward to is that next week we've got over 125 Division I games on Saturday. So this is a calm before the storm, and it's a nice way to be able to give like a, what they always like to call in the business, a soft opening to what we're going to be getting in college basketball the next few months.
Maybe a small tease, Greg, perhaps, but a 78-day stretch starting today because of 3 D1 games, one D1 versus D1, all the way through Selection Sunday. 78 consecutive days with at least one Division I men's college basketball game. That's a pretty good sight. So, Greg, of course, if there is any game that features two Division I schools facing off, you'll probably have a play for it. So let's talk about that game on this Saturday. Stanford, a 16.5-point favorite against Cal State Northridge. Greg, do you have a play for this game?
Absolutely. I took the 16.5 here with CSUN. I was able to get a 165.5 with regards to the under. Right now, seeing that between about 164.5, 165.5. And I mean, even if you're down to a 164.5, I still look at the under because you're not going to get a lot of second chance scoring opportunities in this game. Stanford is allowing teams only grab about 22.5% of their missed shots as an offensive rebound, top 20 defensive rebound percentage. CSUN 82nd in the country. So you're not going to be able to get a lot of those second and third chances. Stanford, even though they play fast, they're about 115th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. They generate turnovers, and CSUN's been a little bit sloppy with the ball. But Larry Hughes II, yes, of that Larry Hughes fame, he has been the leading scorer for CSUN, 19-plus points per game. He's been solid along Josh O'Gara. I really like the overall versatility of CSUN. And for Stanford, if you look at them, they've been playing quite a bit more slowly recently. Their last three games have averaged about 4 possessions fewer per game than they did in their first 9 games. So looking at that 165-plus under and the points with CSUN.
I love the look there, Gray. You can follow Greg on Twitter, or formerly, or I guess now X, formerly known as Twitter, GUnit_81. Greg, of course, as you alluded to, college basketball intensifies in such a dramatic way throughout this week. And it's not just some non-con games with some schools maybe you haven't heard of, but it's conference action. And basically every high major league around the country picking up this week. We have seen a small sampling of college conference hoops in the Big Ten, in the Big East, but we'll get the ACC and the SEC into the fold this week as well. How does conference versus conference, in terms of those conference games, Greg, change your handicapping approach throughout this college hoop season?
I feel like teams really find their rotation now. Like, I find this especially in terms of mid-major ranks as well, where you have these teams that they know that they're in a one-bid league. They know that they have to win their conference regular season to be able to get that one seed in the conference tournament, where that's going to make or break their season. They're a little bit more willing to experiment in the non-conference portion of the season, so that way they find their rotations for right about now. And I think that that's very important to note. And plus, these teams have so much familiarity with one another. Now, you do have some, shall we say, conference realignment, like Grand Canyon now being in the Mountain West, Seattle now being in the WCC, but I am, for the most part, like Michigan and Michigan State. These two teams know each other very, very well. I'm a man from the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin facing off against any non-West Coast Big Ten team here. They know each other very well. And I do think that that means that home court advantage becomes a little bit more prevalent. I think that that means that these underdogs become a little bit more plucky as well. And these teams that have been big giant favorites all season long, like your Michigans, your Iowa States, insert your favorite top five team here. I think that's going to be a little bit tougher for them to cover than they've been able to experience here in the non-conference portion of the season.
Greg, back in hour one, we talked about a few national championship looks that I have on Purdue for a very long time at a 13-1 price, and starting to buy into Mark Byington and those Commodores in Nashville. Vandy, a 30-1 number. Whether it's a conference future or a team to cut down the nets in early April, are there any plays that you have right now that you would advise some to get behind before conference action picks up?
Now, I'm quite a bit more of a game-to-game better personally, but if I were looking at Vanderbilt, I would be looking a little bit more at them to win the SEC regular season, mainly because I think that in the SEC, it's a conference that just doesn't have those Final Four teams like we were seeing a season ago. Like, I mean, Auburn and Florida both made the Final Four last year. You don't have that upper echelon team, but for Vanderbilt, I saw what they were able to do a few days ago against Wake Forest. Was very impressed by what they were able to do. This team does a tremendous job on defense. They've got a little bit more down low with bringing in Jalen Washington in the offseason than they had a season ago, and they brought back their top rebounder from a season ago as well. And I do think that Mark Byington is one of the more underrated coaches in all of college basketball, and these other SEC teams have looked a little bit shaky. Recognize that Alabama has played just a gauntlet of a schedule. So, I mean, there's really not a lot of knocking them. But, I mean, with a team like a Tennessee, for example, it's been a little bit up and down for them. You're expecting a little bit more out of a school like Auburn as well. So, I'd be looking a little bit more at regular season futures rather than the NCAA tournament, because the one thing that makes college basketball unique, you really can't roadmap who a team's going to be playing in the NCAA tournament. There's 365 teams. A lot of that is luck of the draw, and that's really out of your hands. When it comes to being able to bet on who's going to be able to win the conference regular season, you know exactly what the schedule is. You know exactly what that gauntlet is going to be. So I would say look a little bit more for those conference regular season winners rather than the full NCAA tournament winner, because you just simply can't predict that draw.
It's a really good point, Greg. Vandy is vaulted to the top of the odds board to win the SEC already, thanks to a strong undefeated start in year number two in Nashville under Mark Byington. VSiN's own Greg Peterson joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line on VSiN's Tailgate Show. So, Greg, as we go from college basketball with a shorter slate on this Saturday to two NFL games, we start in Los Angeles between the Chargers and the Texans. Basically a moneyline pick'em tonight in L.A. Who do you like to come out with a win?
I laid a point here with the Chargers. I just really like the way that this team is operating on defense. And I do like the under as well, because we've seen the Chargers have to dial back the playbook a little bit more with Justin Herbert playing with a bit of injury. And for the Texans, their calling card really under this turnaround under DeMeco Ryans has been the defense. And that makes a lot of sense, because DeMeco Ryans, a guy that was an amazing defensive player back in the day. But that said, with the Chargers, I just believe that this team has been able to find it and have had a little bit of a rallying cry under Justin Herbert. Maybe it was that like post-game Monday Night Football interview that he didn't want to do and everything like that that sparked it. I'm not sure what it is, but they've been playing some good football. And I do think that when it's all said and done, the Chargers do find themselves being a team that can make a lot of noise out there in the AFC playoffs. I think that there's going to be a lot of running of the ball on both sides. I just think that that Chargers defense is going to do just enough to be able to slow down the Texans to be able to get the job done. So recognize that we've got a low total here of a 39.5, but I do like that under, and I do like the Chargers here laying a point.
Another low total for our nightcap, Greg, in a place you are very familiar with, the native son of Wisconsin, and a 38.5 point spread tonight in Lambeau. Quickly here, Greg, Packers and Ravens, of course, quarterback issues and injuries being the main story. Green Bay starting Malik Willis, still a 3-point favorite at home. What do you like tonight in the frozen tundra?
Now, I was able to get a 3.5 with the Ravens. If I had to play it at 3, I still would go with the Ravens, mainly because you've got two teams that are going to be on their backup quarterbacks. Malik Willis, you mentioned, going up against Snoop Hundley, and Hundley is a serviceable backup. He's not a great backup, and Willis has become a little bit of a better backup in his time as well. I liked what he did last year when he had to fill in for the Green Bay Packers, but these are two teams that are going to be very much looking to run the ball out there in Lambeau, but these are two of the better run games that you're going to find in all of football. Josh Jacobs, obviously, on one side for the Packers. You've got King Henry on the flip side for the Ravens, and I just believe that Henry is a little bit of a better running back. Recognize that this year has not been like past years for Henry, but I think both teams are going to be pounding the rock. I think that both teams are going to have success being able to move the ball on the ground as well. Recognize that you've got a cold day in December, but I do like that 38.5 over. You've got two backup quarterbacks that have been in their system for quite a while. Only a little bit more off and on with the Ravens, but certainly knows that system. I like the over, and I think that King Henry keeps the Ravens in there. I like those points.
I like that look, Greg Peterson. Thank you so much for joining us here on VSiN's Tailgate Show. Enjoy your Saturday. Enjoy that one D1 versus D1 college hoops game between Stanford and CSUN.
Absolutely. We've got one today and many more to come. Always appreciate you.
Thanks for being here, Greg. We appreciate it as well. One thing to note about that game between the Ravens and the Packers, of course, total sub 40 at 38.5. The Ravens, when they have allowed at least 20 points in a game this year, 0-7 straight up. The Flock's defense has not been great. Three other teams, by the way, have not won a football game when allowing at least 20 points this year. Raiders, Giants, Browns. Not great company for Baltimore to keep. Plenty of more looks around the National Football League. The doubleheader tonight and all of Week 17 coming your way next.
You're watching VSiN's Tailgate Show right here on VSiN, the sports betting network where you get your winners.
VSiN's Tailgate Show rolls on right here on this Saturday. It is week 17 in the National Football League. Two more weekends to go in the regular season and so many playoff ramifications on the line this week. So we are very pleased to go back to the Progressive guest line here on the Tailgate Show and welcome on Nick Whalen of RotoWire joining us here to break down the NFL slate in week 17 and really all around the National Football League. Nick, as always, thanks for being here on VSiN's Tailgate Show. Great to talk with you once again. One of my first appearances on VSiN was with you back in the summer ahead of a college football season. And now this Saturday, our final Saturday with college football in 2025. Shows the how long we have come here on the Tailgate Show. Nick, again, thanks for being here, man. Very glad to be talking the NFL with you.
No question, man. A nice full circle moment. I remember when we brought you on Prop Points, you know, I don't know, what was this, back in July or August, you know, our producer is like, this guy is energetic and this guy absolutely knows college football. He knows more about college football than anybody I know. And I could attest, Ben, you absolutely lived up to that billing. No question.
Nick, you humble me. I appreciate it greatly. When we spoke, I was in New York City, not in the home studio with the Big Ten flags around me. But that goes to show just how much this college football season means to me. All right, Nick, let's focus on the NFL. Week 17, huge divisional matchups across the board, and one that could decide the division depending on what happens tonight in LA. If the Texans lose, and they're a slight underdog against the Bolts, and the Jacksonville Jaguars get a win in Indianapolis, The Jags clinched the divisional championship in the AFC South. Nick, Jacksonville, a 5.5-point road favorite against the Colts tomorrow afternoon in Indy. How do you see the matchup between the Jags and the Colts playing out?
Yeah, well, it's interesting to me that this line has, you know, shifted in favor of the Colts. You know, game is in Indy. I think there is some thought that perhaps the Jacksonville Jaguars have been running a little too hot, you know, during this 6-game winning streak. And, you know, at some point, the Trevor Lawrence and that offense are due for regression. And I can subscribe to that to some degree. But I also don't love what I saw from the Colts defense on Monday night against the 49ers. I mean, that was not the way I thought that game would play out. I thought there was a chance the Colts could go in there, play ball control on the ground, you know, slow down that San Francisco passing attack and turn that into a lower scoring game. And instead, through 3.5 quarters, that was a Cincinnati Bengals-esque defensive performance by the Colts. And, you know, now you're playing arguably the hottest offense in the NFL. It sounds crazy to say that about the Jacksonville Jaguars, but this is a team that scored 25 plus in 8 straight games. They just put 34 on the Broncos in Denver. And yes, it does feel like, you know, maybe that letdown game is around the corner at some point. But I think the way Liam Cohen has these guys playing right now, they're going to be focused. They understand what they need to do, not only to try to win the division, but hang on to, you know, the battle for the 2 seed or even the 1 seed in the AFC. So at 5.5, I do like the Jags here. My favorite play is the over 27.5 on the Jacksonville team total. I think, you know, the Jaguars are just rolling to a level that we haven't seen in a long time offensively. They're not even running the ball that well during this winning streak. I think that's something that could come around this week against the Colts, who sounds like they'll get Sauce Gardner back, but DeForest Buckner now out for the year. And we should also mention, Ben, that, you know, like you said, the stakes in this Jags Colts game heavily depend on what we see this afternoon in Houston, LA. You know, not only are we watching the divisional battle between Jacksonville and Houston, but if Houston beats the Chargers, the Colts are officially out. And, you know, that game on Sunday becomes meaningless for them.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And if it is meaningless and the defense has already been struggling, Phillip Rivers is going to have to go out there at home against the Jags and throw for 6 or 7 touchdowns to keep pace, it would seem. Love the look at the team total for Jacksonville. A win and a Houston loss tonight. The Jags clinched the division in the AFC South in year number one under Liam Cohen. Still some hope for the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. They will need some help, and the Patriots are a 2-touchdown road favorite tomorrow against the New York Jets. The Philadelphia Eagles have already clinched the NFC East, our first repeat champion in the division since 2004. It's just a 1.5-point spread, Nick, in favor of Buffalo at home tomorrow in a matchup of two Super Bowl contenders here in 2025. What do you like between the Bills and the Eagles tomorrow in Western New York?
Yeah, this is a game where I don't have a strong lean on the side necessarily. It's probably the number one, all right, I just want to sit back and enjoy this game from a fan perspective type of matchup on the slate. I would say I like the over on rushing receiving for Saquon Barkley, because I do not trust this Buffalo Bills defense. But I think in a lot of ways, this is a fascinating matchup. It's kind of a perfectly timed matchup with the postseason just around the corner between two teams that we absolutely consider contenders. And, you know, perhaps in some worlds, even, you know, favorites in their respective conferences at certain points this season, but two teams that have also showed obvious weaknesses, obvious flaws week to week. And, you know, it feels like the Eagles are back on track, but how much do we really put into a win over Kenny Pickett and the Raiders, a win, you know, over the Commanders on their third quarterback? Like, this is the Eagles' final chance to me to prove to everyone that they are a team that has to be taken seriously in the postseason, because they play the Commanders again at home next week. And that could again be Josh Johnson. You know, if they go in and win that game by 3 scores, nobody's going to care because it's the Commanders. Like, this is your last resume building type of win before heading into the postseason. And the same goes for the Buffalo Bills, right? You know, I think with Josh Allen at quarterback, you're always going to give Buffalo a chance to make a run in the AFC, especially with how the conference is shaping up this season. But this is a very flawed version of the Bills. This feels like maybe the worst version of this team that we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years. So I think for both teams here, you have an opportunity to kind of stamp that resume, to get that one big win that gives you some momentum heading into the playoffs. You got strength on strength. You have weakness on weakness in some areas. You know, Philly's struggling to run the ball. Buffalo's struggling to stop the run. I do think the Eagles have success here, though. I mean, Buffalo, we talk about this run defense, like it's not very good. It's legitimately terrible. It's 31st in the NFL in EPA per rush. I do think the Eagles could get on track here. I would lean Philly +1.5. I think this is a game they can steal, but again, more of a stay away for me, more of a prop spot for me.
The Bills +950, fifth best price to hoist that Lombardi trophy. The defending Super Bowl champs in Philadelphia, backed by just 50 cents at a 10-1 number. Nick Whalen of RotoWire joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line on VSiN's Tailgate Show. And if we talk about those playoff implications, really tight spread there between Buffalo and Philadelphia. Bills lose and the Patriots win. New England wins the AFC East, snapping that 5-year win streak for Buffalo atop the division. Nick, I think it's pretty comfortable and safe to say that New England should win tomorrow in MetLife against the New York Jets, but it's a 13.5 point spread in favor of Drake May and the Patriots. How do you approach a 2-touchdown spread in a divisional matchup?
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of adages that come into play here, right? It's, you know, take the points. It's a divisional game. I think we just need to throw that out the window when we're talking about the New York Jets, or at least this version of the Jets. You know, I've said for most of the year that I think the Jets are better than their record. At least I thought that was the case midseason. I don't know if that's the case anymore when it's Brady Cook and Breece Hall and really just nobody else out there. You know, Garrett Wilson is done for the year. He's on IR. John Metchie, A.D. Mitchell, they've had their moments, but ultimately these are like third and fourth receivers for most teams in the NFL. They're also going to be down multiple starting linemen. They'll be without Mason Taylor, who's had some moments at tight end, you know, multiple starters on the defensive end. You know, coming into the week, man, I really like the Patriots in this spot, even on the road, even a divisional game. New England has done nothing but take care of business against these bad teams all season. The thing that's in the back of my mind, though, is the injury report for the Patriots. I mean, they're down three of their top four receivers, no Butte, no Mac Collins, who's been fantastic this season. And we may not see Pop Douglas either. We know about some of the injuries on the offensive line. They have a couple injuries at linebacker. So I think the door is open perhaps for the Jets to hang around, you know, just pick up kind of a pride type of win as far as covering this game goes. I do not think the Jets are going to win straight up. So I've had to back off of New England a little bit, but obviously this is a spot where the Patriots should be able to take care of business. I think they're still in pole position to end up winning that division. Kind of amazing, by the way, that the Bills are still alive for the division and could be heading into week 18 with how it feels like this Buffalo season is gone.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Nick. And as we go to our final game to discuss here in this segment, might not be the prettiest game on paper, but the Giants and the Raiders in Las Vegas, New York laying 2.5. Both teams enter on a 9-game losing skid. So Nick Whalen, be brave. How do you play the game tomorrow in Vegas between the Raiders and the G-Men?
I think the answer might be you just don't. You just don't. You know, I'm glad we're talking about this, Ben, because I made an impassioned case on this very network, I think back on Tuesday with Gil Alexander, about why I love the Raiders in this spot. I'm like, the Raiders aren't going to tank. They got a veteran coach, a veteran quarterback. This is for pride. They're at home. Giants can't do anything. And essentially immediately once I went off the air on that show, they, you know, ruled out Brock Bowers and now have ruled out Max Crosby, who, of course, you know, did not handle that decision well. And stormed out of the building. So it does indeed feel like now the Raiders don't care if they win this game. Again, coming into the week, I kind of like this spot. You know, a really good Raiders run defense against a Giants team that really only wants to run the ball right now. They're not comfortable really doing anything with Jackson Dart. So, you know, I think there are advantages if we saw the Raiders at full strength, but pulling Bowers off the field, pulling Crosby off the field, I don't like the message that that sends to the rest of your team. I don't like the message that it sends, you know, direction-wise for the rest of the season to the coaching staff. So I am now retracting my Raiders pick. That was the lean coming in. If anything, I'm just looking at this as an underspot.
Listen, feel free for one full retraction if the game is the Giants and the Raiders and both teams have lost 9 straight. That feels very fair.
First game ever between two games on a 9-game losing streak. VSiN
Networks joining us here. Nick, thank you so much for your time on the VSiN Tailgate Show. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Tailgate Show continues on the other side of the break. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Show right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, where you get your winners.
VSiN's Tailgate Show rolls on right here on this Saturday, just about 20 minutes away from the start of our 8-game slate in the College Football Bowl season. That first game, the Military Bowl between Pitt and East Carolina, will give you some looks at the start of our next hour. That game in Annapolis, the first of 8. On this final Saturday of 2025. But we also have 2 games in the National Football League and playoff implications really on the line in both spots tonight, the Chargers and the Texans in LA. Bolts have already booked a spot in the postseason. Houston, with a win tonight or an Indianapolis loss tomorrow, earns that playoff bid once again. Very short number, 1.5 in favor of Los Angeles at home in SoFi, total at 39 and a hook. It is basically a money line pick'em. Our next spot to the frozen tundra, Green Bay and Baltimore. Quarterback injuries being the main storyline. Lamar Jackson listed as doubtful this week. Not expected to play tonight for the Flocks. Snoop Huntley more than likely to get the start for Baltimore. They're a full field goal underdog on the road in Green Bay as the Packers are also starting their backup in Malik Willis. Jordan Love remains ruled out in concussion protocol. That total, 38.5. Both totals sub 40. And again, playoff implications in both spots tonight. Green Bay's already earned a berth to the postseason, but still the NFC North is up for grabs if they can win out. Baltimore technically not eliminated yet, despite being sub 500, and a small glimpse of hope if the Steelers were to drop a few games here down the stretch, especially, of course, in week 18. There are not playoff implications at stake tomorrow in Las Vegas between the Raiders and the Giants, two teams that each only have two wins. We have hit on this game a few times. I have shared the rather hilarious but perhaps ironic stat. This is the first time in the Super Bowl era in the National Football League two teams that have lost 9 consecutive games face off against one another. But enough from me. Here's JVT earlier in the week on Money Moves on how he would approach the matchup in Sin City.
Choice.
Why? What now? What
breaking news
just dropped?
From 1 minute ago, the Raiders are shutting down Max Crosby because of a knee injury.
Already he's shut down battling. Brock Bowers.
Ooh. Now, this is where you know this is so good, dude. This is so good. This is the tank off. This is the equivalent of the Cold War between the United States and Russia. You know, nothing was really happening. They were just kind of ramping up their arms. Same thing here. The Giants have put, I think yesterday they put about 6 guys on injured reserve. We've seen the Raiders do the same thing now. This is a tank off. This is great.
A tank off and a Cold War in the same synopsis of an NFL game. JVT doing great work, of course, with Stormy on Money Moves. So how would I approach if I had to lay down a wager for the Raiders and the Giants? Las Vegas getting 2.5 points at home. You heard from Nick Whalen in our previous segment that earlier in the week, he stood tall for Pete Carroll and the Raiders in terms of having some pride, being at home in Allegiant Stadium, winning this game outright just to show some moxie down the tail end of what has been a difficult year, number one, under Pete Carroll. And then they shut down Brock Bowers. They shut down Max Crosby. He storms out of the facility. It's not a great work by any stretch for Las Vegas. I have shared that this is the first game in the Super Bowl era since 1967 that two teams that have lost 9 consecutive games face off against one another. It is also the first time since 1990 we have had a game week 16 or later with two teams that have a win percentage at 13% or worse. We have seen two teams with a win percentage of 13% or fewer face off in week 11 or later 4 times since 1990, last 3.5 decades. And in those 4 games, the home team has won outright in all 4 contests. So the Raiders, as the home underdog, getting 2.5 points, maybe a money line sprinkle if you had to put something down at all in this matchup in Las Vegas. Second question that we could pose, maybe not putting a ticket on the game, but if you were given a free ticket to this game in Las Vegas, would you attend? My answer would probably be no. I'd rather the confines of my couch, getting comfy on a Sunday and watching all of our NFL action for games that actually have dramatic stakes on Red Zone. But I hear good things about Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I've ever been. I feel like it might be a fun time to check that out. Again, not the prettiest game on the board by any means, but sometimes when it's so bad, it can be so fun. Let's go elsewhere in the NFL slate. Denver Broncos, it wasn't easy in Arrowhead against their divisional foes in the Chiefs, but they do get the job done, winning by 7, 20-13. KC did cover as a 13.5 point home dog at home in Arrowhead. So Denver gets the win. They need some help to wrap up the AFC West. A Chargers loss tonight. Denver earns the divisional crown in a division in the AFC West. Kansas City has dominated the last decade, 9 consecutive AFC West divisional championships. That, of course, going to change here in 2025. But it's not just winning the division. It's also earning the number one seed in the AFC. Dave Ross on By the Books earlier in the week about Denver's ascent to the top of the AFC playoff picture.
I don't know that the Broncos are equipped to go on the road, to your point, Jensen, and win multiple games to get to an AFC title. That seems like a really hard sell for me at this juncture here. Really good team. Really love their defense, as you mentioned, but just don't know that they're equipped to be able to do that. So that one seed feels like it would be paramount.
Very important for Denver to get the number one seed. They are booked as the AFC title favorites at this current moment on DraftKings, a plus 340 price, but it's not necessarily anything close to even money, certainly not flirting with minus money as an odds-on favorite at this moment. Having home field advantage at altitude seems as though it would be incredibly crucial for anybody, but especially in Denver. I think you can look at a team like the Broncos, and if you find holes in what they have done on the resume in 2025, expect the postseason to be where those glaring issues start to rear their ugly head. So I think it's critical that if Denver is going to win a conference championship in the AFC this year, they get home field advantage. In fact, teams that have played in Denver the following week, they are 0-7 against the number throughout the regular season. Altitude does have its ramification. The Broncos need some help throughout the remainder of week 17 and week 18, of course, to get that number one seed in the AFC. We'll see if they can do that. If I was going to bet on any team right now to win the AFC at this very moment, I'm still looking at the Buffalo Bills at a plus 425 price. I understand that Buffalo in this five-year run of winning the AFC East each and every year has not even reached the Super Bowl or won the AFC crown at this time, but they are the team that by far has the most experience in these spots. For me, it would still be based on that value, third best number, a plus 425 ticket on the Buffalo Bills to win the AFC at this very moment. We talked about the San Antonio Spurs on Christmas Day going into Oklahoma City and thrashing the Thunder. That's a third consecutive victory for San Antonio, including in the NBA Cup against our reigning NBA champions. Gil Alexander earlier in the week on the San Antonio Spurs and their outlook to perhaps play spoiler and win the Western Conference.
But in the first quarter yesterday, when the Spurs went up 6, I was like, that's it. I bet the Spurs plus 6 in game. Wish I had played the money line, right? But I played them plus 6 in game. And then I'm like, I'm making bets. 19-1 to win it all. And then 125-1 if the Jason Tatum thing happens, where he comes back and the Celtics seem flourish. I might even add a Spurs against the Knicks just to have the less sexy one. Mm-hmm. But right now, I bet them Spurs Celtics at 125-1. Again, no exact, just to meet in the NBA final. Of course, you're hoping for no injury. That's obviously a thing. But I don't have to see any more.
Oklahoma City minus 125 to win the Western Conference Championship, and it's not even the turn of the calendar year. But that feels deserving, right? Despite losing 3 straight to San Antonio. The Spurs, the hottest team right now in the NBA, winners of 8 straight. So yeah, there's a lot of value in the entirety of the Western Conference market. I'd also keep an eye on the team that has the second best number in the Denver Nuggets. Before the line moves, the sharp plays is already there. They don't just follow the market, they help shape it. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar sports books or full-time sharps on your own, but with the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources and active across the NFL, NBA, MLB, and college hoops, the sharp play delivers the edge serious bettors rely on. Free daily reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. Since 2011, they've backed it all up with documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. SharpPlays.com, trusted by pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line. Visit SharpPlays.com. Speaking of market movement, we've got a ton in the Military Bowl that's about to kick off when our third hour begins here on VSiN's Tailgate Show. Pitt started the day as a 10.5-point favorite. That line's at 12.5 now in favor of the Panthers. We'll break down that game against ECU and the entirety of our 8-game bowl slate on this Saturday when VSiN's Tailgate Show rolls on the other side of the break.